I'm standing in my usual place on the choir step in St. Mary's, and it feels a bit odd because, well, I'm not robed, but strangest of all, there's only one other person in the building, and they are sitting far away from me. I'm preaching this Mother's Day on the Gospel reading, and the Gospel is taken from the book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 33 onwards. And so I'm going to read the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." This is the Gospel of the Lord. This reading prompts me to ask, how much do we trust God? And let me be clear, I trust God far less than I would like to. I find it far too easy to fall back on my own resources, to drink, as it were, from my own water jar rather than trusting to God's abundant living waters. But when I do that, when I rely on my own resources, I am reminded, especially at times such as these we are in, that we cannot rely on our own goodness. For example, today, is it not shameful that some people cannot get the food they need because of overbuying? Is it not shameful that people who are ethnic Chinese or who look Chinese are being berated in public? It is at times like these that we're living through now that the humanist belief in the perfectibility of people looks so threadbare. I'm going to look today at trust in God as shown by Mary, and then I'm going to reflect that into my life and invite you to reflect it into yours. We can quite easily trust when things are easy, but can we trust when they are hard? There are many powerful and comforting promises in Scripture. If you read the psalm for today, Psalm 34, verses 11 to 20, you will find these words from God. "When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles." And we will have troubles. The psalm goes on to say, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all." But what if our trust in God seems to be weak and seems to be attacked by circumstances, by fear or by loneliness? Are we then lost? Is our faith then pointless? Well, no. And to illustrate that, I'm going to focus today on someone who was clearly beloved by God, but who seems to have had some wavering in her faith at times. So back to the gospel. It's a very short gospel today, and we should have, of course, asked, where does this fit in? What comes before and what goes after? The context is that Mary and Joseph had taken Jesus into the temple to fulfill all the requirements of the law, one of which was to redeem the infant Jesus, who was by law holy unto the Lord. And so they had come to make the required offering. And this is not a baptism. As an aside, we were hoping to have baptized a lovely little girl today. But like many things, this has had to be put on hold. But baptism and the redemption of the firstborn are very different things. Redemption of the firstborn is no longer needed because the firstborn Son of God, Jesus Christ, was not redeemed and died for us. And so as we are baptized into Christ, we see that baptism accomplishes all that the redemption of the firstborn could have done, and much, much more. The man who spoke these words to Mary and Joseph was called Simeon, a godly man filled with the Holy Spirit. He had been promised that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And Simeon had just said the most wonderful things about Jesus. His mother and Joseph would have been fully justified in feeling secure and hopeful for the future of the infant Jesus. We read that they marveled at what was said about Jesus. But then came these mysterious words spoken directly to Mary, not to Joseph. This child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, for a sign that is opposed, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. Deeply, deeply troubling words for a mother to hear of her infant child. And Mary had her child for 30 years. Jesus seemed, from the limited information we have, to have had a happy, normal childhood, and life probably seemed to be very promising. But when he was 30, Mary started to lose her son. The rest of Simeon's prophetic utterance started to come true. Jesus did become a sign that was opposed. The thoughts of many hearts were revealed by what he said and did. Jesus taught and travelled and worked miracles. He was involved in disputes with many. And after 3 years, the thoughts of some hearts revealed a murderous intent. In the last days of Jesus' life, Mary's world must have changed literally overnight. One day her son was celebrating a meal with his disciples, and the next she was watching him die in front of her on a cross. At that moment, perhaps she remembered the words of Simeon, that a sword would pierce through her own soul also. And after that, the world was not the same for Mary. It's curious how quickly things can change, is it not? The world was not the same for Mary after that day because she had lost her son in the most awful circumstances. To hear of the death of your child must be almost appallingly hard. To see their dead body must be appalling, but to see your child die an agonizing death in front of you is unimaginable. We know now that Jesus had to do this. Jesus died for us because we were and are powerless to redeem ourselves from the slavery of sin. And to go back to the reading, if we ask why was this prophecy spoken directly to Mary, and why were some words of the sword piercing her soul not only directed to her but speaking of her, in one way the answer is plain. It's because of the agony of seeing her son crucified in front of her. But there is another possibility, which has to do with trusting God. I've been pondering the aside to Mary about Mary. The rest of the verses 34 and 35 refer to Jesus, but these words speak to Mary about her. Why is the aside to Mary about the sword placed where it is? If you have this passage in front of you and read it in English, there seems to be no reason why these words about the sword piercing her soul could not have come at the end of the passage. Surely that would have made sense. First, Simeon talks about Jesus, and then the words addressed directly to Mary come after that. In this case, it would have read, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, so the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also." But the words about the sword speaking to Mary come after the words for a sign that is opposed. And so does the word opposed apply to her? Is it possible that Mary, quite naturally as a human and as Jesus' mother, herself in some way opposed what her child was appointed to do? Is it possible that she could not reconcile herself to such an outcome for her child? Is it possible that Mary did not really believe or did not want to believe some of the words that had been spoken to her, the various messages that had been given by the angels and by Simeon? And we know she did on at least one occasion in the Gospels try to deflect Jesus from his path. And if, because of that human instinct, deep down she opposed his mission, then a sword was poised to pierce through her soul. We are human. Mary was human. She was close to God in a unique way, bearing Jesus for 9 months and caring for him as he grew up. But no human, not even Mary, could have comprehended the immensity of the sacrifice that God was going to make for us in the death of Jesus. We will not face the challenges that Mary faced, nowhere close. But if you trusted God 1 month ago, will you trust him now? We know we can trust God when things are easy, but can we trust God when they are not? I wish you all God's blessings and protection during this trying time, and I urge you to keep praying, to keep trusting. If Mary could keep trusting in the face of the faith-shattering loss of her son, if she could then accept him as her Savior, then we can follow her example, the mother of Jesus, and trust and pray. Amen.